WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and new tariffs kicking in at midnight. President Trump announced 25% tariffs on Canadian and Mexico's imports, and China tariffs increased to 20%. Food, clothing, cars, lumber, and oil and gas among the goods imported from America's top trading partners. Jay Young is a gas and oil industry expert, and he expects increases.
We produce about 13, 14 million barrels a day in the United States. We still consume 20 million, if not 21 million barrels a day. We need 7 million barrels, and the majority of that comes from Canada.
Gas prices had been declining, down 5 cents in just the last week, according to government data. In Rome, Pope Francis in the hospital for a third week due to pneumonia. He suffered two more respiratory episodes today, according to the Vatican. Fire crews in North and South Carolina fighting 175 wildfires fueled by dry conditions and whipping winds. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, is conducting an officer-involved death investigation in the town of Blue Mounds that occurred last evening. At approximately 6:20, a Wisconsin State Patrol trooper attempted to initiate a traffic stop on U.S. Highway 18-151 near mile marker 52 in Iowa County. The subject failed to stop, prompting a pursuit. A deputy with the Iowa County Sheriff's Office joined the pursuit shortly after it began. The pursuit ended when the subject crashed near mile marker 65 in the town of Blue Mounds. EMS responded and the subject was pronounced dead at the scene. DCI is leading this investigation and is assisted by a DCI crime response specialist, the Dane County Sheriff's Office, and the Mount Horeb Police Department. All involved law enforcement are fully cooperating with DCI during this investigation. DCI is continuing to review evidence and determine the facts of this incident and will turn over the investigative reports to the Dane County District Attorney's Office when the investigation concludes. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of John Charles Fanta, 60, of rural Viroqua, as the result of an ongoing investigation into illegal drug activities. On Friday morning at approximately 9 o'clock, a search warrant was executed at a residence on Nelson Road, rural Viroqua, in the town of Franklin. Illegal drugs, drug paraphernalia, and a firearm were located. John Fanta was arrested and booked into the detention center on recommended charges of manufacturing and delivering methamphetamine, possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and a felon in possession of a firearm. This case remains under investigation by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin falls short to the Spartans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had the lead at halftime, but lost to the Spartans at Michigan State, 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You're always going to build your program and your team to be able to survive those. And the two things that we didn't do well enough when you have one of these 5-for-32 games, and part of that's Michigan State's defense, part of it, you know, we had good looks. I thought we had some really good looks at times from the right guys.
Up next, Wisconsin plays the Gophers in Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette with a win over the weekend at Georgetown. They head north to face UConn on Wednesday. UW-Milwaukee had no trouble against Detroit Mercy. The Panthers winning 89-67, securing the number 3 seed in the Horizon League tournament. And the number 1 ranked Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team shut out Bemidji State in Madison 11-0. So the Badgers advance to the first round of the WCHA playoffs Friday in Duluth. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, a few areas of rain and warm, lows close to 40. And for tomorrow, staying cloudy, more showers, highs near 50. The wind starts to pick up tomorrow night, rain changing to snow Wednesday, maybe some slushy accumulations. Right now it's 50.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the four main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host, Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night where we start our countdown for the next Oscar broadcast, which is just 364 short days away, ladies and gentlemen. Did you watch? I did. I love movies. I love to watch movies. I like to watch the Oscars. I didn't always watch them, but I did watch them last night. I watched them last year. As the years go by, I find myself watching the entire broadcast more. It's fun to watch with a group, kind of like the Super Bowl. A billion people joined me last night in watching the Oscars. Were you one of them? Let me know. Let me know what your thoughts were about the broadcast, about some of the winnings or people who maybe got snubbed. Did you think there was a surprise? Did you have no interest? You can share all of this stuff at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines are open. Let me know what you thought of the Oscars. We'll be joined at 635 by one Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic who we have on this show quite frequently to do a deep dive into the broadcast. Lots to talk about, too. There was Conan O'Brien as the host. There was some kind of crazy, weird James Bond tribute. The In Memoriam segment was always, that's a staple at the Oscars. A couple snubs there we'll talk about. Adam Sandler made a crazy surprise appearance. Timothy Chalamet showed up. I want to cheer for this guy, but I don't know what he was doing with that yellow outfit. Don't you have enough attention? You're an Oscar nominee in the Best Actor category. You're a young guy. You had two films that were nominated for Best Picture, and you show up wearing that? That just screams like, I need more attention. Really strange. But we'll talk about all things Oscar over the course of the night. We'll talk about Adrian Brody's really long acceptance speech, which is ironic because he was in The Brutalist, which was almost 4 hours, and I muscled through that yesterday before the broadcast. You see The Brutalist, Conrad?
I did not.
Awful. Did not like it. I would give Razzies to The Brutalist and The Substance. The Substance was just terrible, in my opinion. The Brutalist was just long and sort of self-indulgent. It looked cool. The acting was great, but eh. We'll talk about all of that with Matt Miller. He's going to be here to help us do a deep dive into last night's broadcast. And then at 7:35... this is exciting. We have the chair of the musical theater department at UW Stevens Point, who's going to be here talking about their big spring play, Pirates of Penzance, that those of you who live in Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Plover, Stevens Point, it's all right there. Beautiful facility, gorgeous theater, and you can still catch Pirates of Penzance. I know this coming weekend, possibly the weekend after too. Not 100% sure about that, but we will talk with our guest, Mark Hansen, about that and how you can catch this great show by these up-and-coming musical theater future professionals. We'll talk about that at 7:35 with Mark Hansen. Riding shotgun, as usual, is the lovable producer, Conrad.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. It was a really nice day. How about that?
Yeah. It was a great day to stay inside and just kind of hang out a little bit.
I had the windows open. Got outside for a little bit today. Took a little walk. It was
nice.
Great.
I was inside. I had a lot of work to do, and I thought, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for me to get outside. The last three gorgeous days, I've stayed inside and just kind of worked on the show, worked on some other stuff, made some phone calls. We have a little bit of business here we have to get to. The other night, Friday, we got text. We got Tom from Jackson sent us a text right as we were going off the air. And he said, what is the name of the restaurant? And that was in Door County, I believe we were talking about, where our musical guest,
yep,
Laura Sawaska.
Yeah, yeah.
Worked. And I don't know that we asked Terry that, Tom. If I had seen your question, I would have asked her. I don't know that she knew, actually. But we could try to find that out.
It was a diner, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Washington Island?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we'll have to try to find that out. I would love to go see her. She sounds fantastic. Loved the song Terry brought Friday night for Barbie on Friday night. Always fun. And then we got another text, too. Bud. I got Bud confused with Brian from Milwaukee, I think.
You did, yes.
Bud is the one who listens from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. when we're on the repeat. The rebroad, the recast, the rebroadcast, if you will. Bud from Janesville tuned in and says, hi, guys. I deliver newspapers in Madison, and I appreciate the shout-out. By the way, I deliver papers from a truck. So he is a truck driver. I knew I wasn't crazy.
You got that right.
Glad we could keep you company, Buck. Bring the news, Bud, Buck. I got Oscars in the brain because I had a joke about, never mind. Bud, keep listening. Happy we keep you company. Keep delivering the papers. I assume it's newspapers. Do we still have newspapers? I hope so. But thanks for listening, buddy. And text anytime. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our guests. Matt Miller, 6:35. Mark Hansen from UW-Stevens Point at 7:35. And that brings us, in honor of the Oscars, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your best picture from last year? What film would you give an Oscar to? Let me know. I mean, I know you guys, over the course of the year, saw at least one movie. And that would have to be your Oscar winner, because that's what I'm asking. What is your best picture from last year? What film would you give an Oscar to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's a good question. And I'm going to have to actually think about that. I kind of spent all this time coming up with the question because I wanted it to be best picture related. And now I'm kind of, what did you see? You only saw Dune 2, right?
No, that's the movie I didn't see.
Oh, that's the movie you didn't see.
You know, I'd give it to The Fall Guy.
You can show yourself out.
I'm kidding. I actually...
Wait, that's the only picture you saw.
No,
okay.
No, I would actually give it to The Challengers. That movie I really...
Oh, that was a good movie, yeah.
Really, really liked
that movie.
That's
a great choice. Yeah. Okay. Different, innovative, cool. I admit I'm getting swept up in the Anora buzz. Sean Baker, who I wasn't... He wasn't even on my radar until a guest recently said... what have you seen of Sean Baker's or something to that effect? And I started watching Sean Baker films. I had heard of The Florida Project for a couple years, and it was on my list of things to watch. Never watched it. And then when the guest said that, I can't remember who it was, I watched The Florida Project, loved it. One of the sweetest, kind of sad, but one of the sweetest endings I've ever seen in a film. Willem Dafoe was great. And I watched Tangerine, Red Rocket, or Red Rooster, Red Rocket. And Anora. And I have to be honest, I don't even think Anora is Sean Baker's best film. But Hollywood loves this guy. And for him to go on a tear like he did last night, I think they were nominated for 6 Oscars and they won 5. That was the big story last night, was Anora. Let me know if you saw Anora. I liked it. I'm surprised it won, but having seen The Brutalist now, which I did not like, I don't know what else. I don't know what I would have picked. But I would say last year, or at least of the films I saw this year, I might have liked A Complete Unknown the best. Conclave was good. Best picture I saw all year, though. I will get back to you. Let me know what you guys think, though. What's the best film you saw all year? What would you give an Oscar to? 855-752-4842. You can text us on the app. Really easy to use if you haven't downloaded it. Check it out. There's a little text icon right next to whatever station you are listening to, because we are on statewide. So you just click the text icon and fire away, or you can call us. You can also text us on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
Yeah, so on Facebook, it's WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
And I've got a great shirt on tonight, folks. I'm wearing one of my favorite shirts. So if you do watch on the stream on YouTube or whatever the outlets Conrad just said, you're going to get to see me in a really slick-looking shirt. If that's not enough to get you to the stream, I don't know what it is. But join us any way you can. Just join us. Be part of the show. Today is National Irish Whiskey Day.
Yeah.
Man, that makes me thirsty. I'm on like month 27 now with no booze, other than the occasional Blue Moon like 0.25 alcohol in it or something. Now, I do drink 100 of those to catch a buzz. That might be a problem. But no, International Irish Whiskey Day. Do you like Irish whiskey? I don't know if I was into it at your age.
No, you know, I'll take the occasional shot during March because, you know, getting festive. But I don't really like it in drinks or just by itself.
You know what's weird? I used to drink Jameson when I was your age. That's what we would do. If we were at the bars or even when I was younger, we would do a shot of Jameson. Mm. A shot. Ugh. Like, if you're just going to get drunk, drink the cheapest crap there is. You don't down good Irish whiskey. And I think there are better Irish whiskeys than Jameson. I'm just saying, even back in my mid-20s, I was probably popping down $5 for a shot of Irish whiskey. Why would I do that? And then just down it. It's like my mother-in-law had a guy she was seeing for a while, and I had great Irish whiskey. I think I had Tullamore Dew or something. I asked him if he wanted some, and I poured in two fingers, and then he puts Coke in it. I almost lost my mind. I mean, no, that's what Kessler's for. But whatever. I love Irish whiskey. You can tell me your favorite Irish whiskey too, folks, if you like. So many good ones. I do think my favorite for the money is Tullamore Dew. You ever had Tullamore Dew?
I have.
Yeah.
I'm just not a huge... I really don't sip anything on the rocks, to be honest.
Oh, I drink it neat. I think really good whiskey, just in my opinion, I think it has to be neat.
Okay. There's one... It
doesn't have to be, but...
There's one liquor that I actually drink by itself.
What's that?
And it's Bumbu.
Well, what's that again?
It's a rum, but it's like a banana.
I don't know rums.
Banana flavored.
Okay.
It's so good. I have it in mixed drinks or I have it just in a glass. It's for Christmas 2 years ago, I got a set of the Bumbu and then the little glasses.
Wow. Look at you, man. Yeah. Styling. All right, we have so much to talk about. We're talking Oscars tonight. Matt Miller is here. Mark Hansen is here at 7:35 talking about a great big production at UW-Stevens Point. We're going to do a deep dive on the Oscars with Matt. We're going to come back and talk more about the Oscars. I've heard Adrian Brody is still delivering his acceptance speech. We'll check in on that. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
So I was all set to read a text, and Google makes me log in.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to keep everybody in suspenders here. That's my favorite Benny Hill saying. We're going to keep you in suspenders. So our question tonight is, what would you give an Oscar to for Best Picture? What's the best film you saw last year? Let us know. 855-752-4842. Ross from Crawford County. Ross is checking in. Hey, buddy. He says, I like Anora because the actress had such spunk, she just wouldn't put up with you-know-what. And when the Russian or Armenian mafia boy showed up, I thought, oh boy, here comes the violence. And it just turned into these bumbling fixers that was just hilarious. It brought some levity to a serious movie. Very well said, Ross. That's a great take. He says, Nickel Boys was great. A complete unknown. I really enjoyed. They're all good movies. All of the ones you mentioned, Ross, I liked a lot too. Nickel Boys is such a heart-wrenching story. Based on a true story, loosely, the two characters were great. It was weird watching, for me personally, watching them break the fourth wall. I had trouble adjusting to that. And I don't know if that helped or hurt their cases for Best Picture. I don't know. But I did enjoy the film. And I do agree with you. You know, Sean Baker stuff is also weirdly funny. It's kind of like dark comedy. The Russian guys were funny. I think there's a scene where Anora kicked one of the guys in the nose and broke his nose. I just felt like it went on too long. I'm totally nitpicking because, you know, now that the Oscars are in the books and you see how overwhelmingly Anora won, you kind of have to go, yeah, okay, that's the best picture. Not saying it was like anonymous. I think The Brutalist was a favorite for a while. I thought Conclave had picked up steam. And I would have been okay with that too. There was great acting, pretty good script, and then a cool twist at the end I did not see coming. So I would have been okay with that too. Ryan from Madison, he's in the 608. He says, that's a Marjorie Taylor Greene text. That was not a best picture.
No.
That text was not a best picture. I don't think it was intended for this show. So Kurt checks in on the stream and says, A Complete Unknown was phenomenal. I was hoping it would sweep the Oscars and bummed it didn't win any. Yeah, that's right. They got shut out, didn't they, Kurt? I liked it a lot, too. I was surprised. I thought maybe, especially since, like, Adrian Brody won, but The Brutalist kind of got shut out, I thought, after that. It might have won one more. I thought, you know, maybe Timothy Chalamet would win, but he didn't. And seeing that outfit he had on, I'm glad he didn't win. What is he doing? I know people want to seem weird and make their mark and stand out, but good Lord.
My theory is that Kylie Jenner dressed him.
Yeah, that's true. Blame the Kardashian, right? You might be right about that. You got to stand out, Tim. In the 608, I was disappointed that Timothy Chalamet and Demi Moore lost. Halle Berry looked amazing. Yes, she did. That's Anna from Madison. Thank you, Anna. I was watching, my mom was over. I was watching it with my wife, my mom, and my mother-in-law. And we all got so drunk. There were drugs. It was great. No, but my mom and my mother-in-law both commented on Halle Berry. She looked beautiful. No question about that. I don't know about Timothy Chalamet. I would have been fine if he won because he was great. He learned how to play the guitar. He did the voice. It was great. But Demi Moore, I don't know. That I just hated everything about that movie. And I thought there were other actresses that did really well, too. I have no problem with Mikey Madison. She kind of carried the whole movie. We should check in because Adrian Brody won his second Best Actor award, which is quite an accomplishment. That's incredible. And last I heard, he was still talking. And he has now surpassed the amount of time it took to watch The Brutalist. Yeah. Let's hear part of his speech.
They're already counting me down. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you. For this blessed life. If I may just humbly begin by giving thanks for the tremendous outpouring of love that I've felt from this world and every individual that has treated me with respect and appreciation. I feel so fortunate. You know, acting is a very fragile profession. It looks very glamorous, and in certain moments it is, but the one thing that I've gained having the privilege to come back here is to have some perspective. Whew. And
make it stop.
No matter where you are in your career, no matter what you've accomplished, it can all go away. And I think what makes this night most special is the awareness of that and the gratitude that I have to still do the work that I love.
We'll come back. I don't, it goes on quite a while.
Yes,
we'll be
does.
Checking back in throughout the show to see if he put some closure on that. Very sweet, very genuine. He teared up. He's obviously very thankful, but it's funny that an actor who's so charismatic does not give a great speech. And maybe he wasn't prepared. Maybe he was talking from the heart. I don't know. I do think Adrian Brody's a great actor. My issue was with that movie. If that was, and I've heard it's like loosely based on other stories of architects and immigrants, but all the weird stuff that happened in that movie, I'm okay. I would have liked it better if it were a true story or based on an actual guy named Laszlo who came to this country and connected with this millionaire and built cool structures. It just went on forever. And I don't think it was the best picture. I just saw it under the wire yesterday, and I'm glad it didn't win. And I would have taken Anora, Conclave, A Complete Unknown. I thought they were all way better than The Brutalist. I like the double entendre name, but was not a huge fan. So our question tonight, what would you give an Oscar to? What's the best picture you saw last year? What's your best picture? Let us know. 855-752-4842. And we'll ask the same question to my next guest. Matt Miller joins us, the Milwaukee film critic. We'll do a deep dive into the Oscars, recap the event, talk about some of the movies. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll check in again and see if Adrian Brody is still talking. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
While the nation seems to be in chaos, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin took the time to meet with Wisconsin voters and answer questions. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Senator Tammy Baldwin held a virtual town hall meeting on Thursday to answer questions from concerned constituents in central Wisconsin. The meeting was moderated by Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiese. The first question outlined how chaotic things seem in Washington, D.C., and asked how to help calm the uncertainty people are living with every day.
It does feel a lot like chaos here.
Senator Baldwin said announcements are coming so fast and furious that it's difficult for hardworking citizens to keep up.
I will tell you that some of the chaos that we're experiencing is very purposeful.
A top Trump advisor said their strategy in the first days and weeks was to flood the zone. Many of the things proposed have resulted in lawsuits, making it even harder to understand what's going on.
I think it's important to remember in all of this that we do have power. Everyone here has power, and your voice matters.
Baldwin said she has been spending time on the Senate floor reading letters from concerned constituents, and those voices and stories do make a difference.
Again, I'm here to fight for you, but I'm also here to fight with you.
She said through this chaotic and confusing time that we have real power, and encouraged Wisconsinites to keep talking to their representatives. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A Friday statement from Madison-based UW Health said if an agreement isn't reached by April 15th, it will no longer be in network for patients with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Wisconsin Insurance. UW Health said Anthem has agreed to much higher reimbursement rates for other Wisconsin health systems while proposing an increase to UW Health's rate that was below the rate of inflation and also demanding the ability to unilaterally change payment terms without a renegotiation.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, a few areas of rain and warm, lows close to 40. And for tomorrow, staying cloudy, more showers, highs near 50. The wind starts to pick up tomorrow night, rain changing to snow Wednesday, maybe some slushy accumulations. Right now it's 50.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Jim from Appleton says, I would have given it to Dune 2 It left me impatiently waiting for number three. That, man, it's funny because Dune 2 was nominated, one of the 10 best, according to the Academy. You did not hear much about it, though. I think it won Best Sound. But I enjoyed it. Great text, Jim. I don't know much about Dune 3 either, but maybe we can ask our next guest that. Joining us now on the program, as he so often does, our friend Matt Miller. He's a Milwaukee film critic who does great work and is always a joy to read. You can check out his Substack at A Man About Film. Check out his work. He does good stuff there. And he joins us now over the stream on Nightlight. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. A little tired. I'm still waiting for Adrian Brody's speech to end.
We've chopped it up. We're getting through it. It's a mini series here tonight. It's unbelievable what he, and it's funny. It's ironic that he was in the longest movie in the history of mankind. And then he gives the longest speech too. So I love
it. And you know, I could almost grant it if he was like a surprise winner. Like if he was, you know, not a betting favorite and, you know, he gets up there and he's like, he was somebody who was expected to be up there. It was between him and Timothy Chalamet. And B, he's been there before. Like right. You won an Oscar before. This isn't new to you. So I mean, it's a great performance. He's a worthy winner, but boy, and you know what? No good speech has ever begun with the sentence, he threw his gum at his wife. You know, like that's
What he threw? I didn't know. I saw him toss something.
He would have gum, and instead of just swallowing it like a normal person, or I don't know, figuring out something, he like shucked it at his partner. And I'm just like, this is not a good start. This is not a strong start.
It would have been cool if he was like smoking a cigarette and he looked at her and said, keep this lit. But yeah, gum, I don't get that. That just doesn't
I think it's officially by 1 second the longest speech in the history of the Academy
Awards. Is that true?
Which takes some doing.
Wow.
So good work, Adrian Brody. And the funny thing is, it's not like he had a lot of meaningful things to say either. We got to the end of that speech and we were like, the guy's trying to, you know, make peace in the Middle East. We're able to wrap it up faster than
God,
you.
No kidding. Nuts. Yeah, he needed an envoy. Nuts. Yeah, it was strange because it was meandering. It's like, really? Like, and then he tells them to stop the music. I got to get through this. And like, he's a second time Oscar winner. That's probably what gave him the street cred to have them do that. But come on, dude.
Well, and like, you'd think when he was shushing the orchestra, it was like, oh, here's where he has like the heartfelt tribute to his parents or something. And instead, it was just more rambling. It was one of the most bizarre parts of the night. And there was a random Wiz tribute in the middle of the night. So it was a fun night, but that was not one of the highlights.
All right, before we get hardcore into this deep dive, I came down to the wire. The only film I was unable to see was I'm Still Here. I just don't live in an area where they showed it and it's not available
to
stream.
Yeah, that was a late release. That one just came out just a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did see Nickel Boys and I did see The Brutalist. I wasn't a fan of The Brutalist. I love the story of Nickel Boys, but I thought the techniques they used, breaking the fourth wall and kind of how they told the story, took me out of it a little bit. I know some people love it. What is your take on those two films, Matt?
Yeah, I love Nickel Boys would have been, if I was a person with a ballot, Nickel Boys would have been my best picture.
Nice.
I do get the kind of hesitance people have toward that movie. For people who don't know, it's a movie about two young black boys in a reform school, in a abusive, horrific reform school in Florida in the 1960s, based on the Colson Whitehead novel. And it's all told in first person mode. It is all told from the perspective of its two characters. And I think that works really well in that movie. I think it especially serves as a gut punch when you see when they're older, you see that the camera is not first person. It is dissociated. It is seen from their backside. I think it's a very moving, emotionally well-told movie. But I understand it is a very strange movie. Like I said, a lot of technical craft is getting involved in that film, and it can be distancing for some people. For me, it was more immersive. I'm amazed it got the Best Picture nomination over the likes of Sing Sing, which is a little bit more conventionally uplifting and interesting and kind of conventionally emotional. So I was happy. The nomination was the win there, and I respect The Brutalist. I think it's a mammoth production that they pulled that movie off. But for a 3.5 hour long movie, I really want to like feel that movie and really come away being amazed. And the back half of that movie just doesn't come together for me in a way that I really walked out satisfied. But I can't not appreciate everything that went into making that movie. It's one maybe I respect more than I really love. Well, and I think that's why it didn't win much last night, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, other than Adrian Brody and Best Score, I think Brutalist was otherwise pretty much held out.
And in a weird way, and that's a great way to put it, I respect it too. And Adrian Brody was great. I just felt like it would have had a better chance if it were a true story. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like kind of it was like, wait, now this guy's doing this, and now... I don't know. It just did not resonate with me, but it looked great. Adrian Brody was, all the actors were great. Felicity Jones was great.
I will say I like that it's not a true story. Like if you remember 3 years ago, there was that weird thing with Tar, the Cate Blanchett movie, where people were oh, is this a biopic? And everyone was like, no, this is a completely made up character. And that's what I had with The Brutalist, where I walked out and I was like, I got to read more about this architect. And then it was like, oh, he's not a real person. Right. But I think that speaks to the writing of that movie, that he feels so real in a lot. And the story feels so tangible. I think that's maybe the most impressive thing about the movie, is that it feels like it should be based on a real person, or at least that this is a true story that actually is, for the most part, just inspired by an architect as opposed to being truly a biography.
Right. And it's hard to argue with his win. Before we get into the awards, Matt, what did you think of the broadcast itself, the Oscars?
I thought it was a really good show. Yeah, I thought Conan O'Brien, this has got to be the first time in my lifetime that someone has hosted the Oscars and gotten rave reviews.
Yeah.
Normally, hosting the Oscars is the most hated job in Hollywood. You know, it's a no-win scenario. Everyone thinks you did a bad job. The room is, you know, awkward. Conan killed it. I think he did a very good job balancing, making fun of the room, making fun of himself. When it got to the why are we gathered here when the world is a mess portion of the night, I thought he delivered that really sincerely and well. I thought he did a good job of, I liked the pomp and circumstance of the show. I liked the kind of, we're going to do a 10 minute, you know, tribute to James Bond for no real reason.
What was that? That was crazy.
If Amazon didn't buy the rights to Bond and that franchise is doomed to become a shell of itself and MCU'd to death, I think I'd be more upset about that, but I appreciated it. Do you know the John Mulaney joke about making a birthday sign where it's like you start and you do a big old B and a big old I and a smaller R and you realize you're running out of room on the sign? Yeah. That's how last night's show kind of felt, where it was like in the beginning of the night, they really let people take their time and luxuriate. You got these really fun speeches and emotional moments. And then as the night got on, clearly ABC was like, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
So more people started getting played off. And, you know, it seemed like things were really kind of rushing to get to the end. But I thought it was a good show. I'm sure the ratings aren't going to be great. I don't think this was a show people were like, you know, oh, I got to see what's going on here. And we have to acknowledge that, you know, these kind of shows are becoming more niche entertainment as opposed to general public entertainment.
Right.
That's fine. That is the way culture is going right now. But I thought it was a good show. And I think if the Oscars were smart, they should be like, Conan, here's a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
Keep doing this. You did great.
He was, and Conan's already kind of awkward. I thought he seemed as at ease as I've ever seen him hosting that broadcast. Like, he was a natural to do that. I thought he pulled it off great.
He has that good insider-outsider energy where he knows what's going on. He knows how to poke fun at the industry while also seeming like an outsider, but also not alienating the people way Kimmel can, or the way Ricky Gervais does, where Ricky Gervais just seems like it tends to run a little mean and a little self-satisfied about it. It's like, oh, I bet you've never heard this about yourselves.
Right.
Yes, they have, Ricky. They have the internet too. So I really liked Conan. I thought he had just the right tone, you know, and again, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come back next year. If he doesn't, I don't know what they're doing.
I hope he does too. And to put a button on the broadcast itself, I love what they did with the fire victims, with the first responders. The sandworm thing was ridiculous, but kind of funny and just silly. So I like that.
The one complaint I have, and this will be apparently my eternal complaint, show clips of the movies.
Yeah.
Show the work. I don't need to hear Robert Downey Jr. use this big 5-minute flowery, you know, monologue to each of the nominees for Best Supporting Actor that I tune out of. Show the work that you are nominating and get people excited to see these performances as opposed to have someone just being like, oh man, that cinematography was so good. Show the cinematography. It's a visual medium.
Right. That's what we're doing here. Yeah. Mick Jagger was cool too. That was kind of fun when Jagger went out there.
And that's the vibe, I think, of the modern Oscars. You know, have celebrities come out and kind of just like seem like they're hanging out, being cool on stage. Like that was what the Oscars can be at their best. And I think what we need them to be, I thought last night, it was that good combination of like relaxed and, you know, glamorous and luxuriating in its pomp. And I think that's a good combo we can move forward with.
I totally agree. My guest is Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. Check out his stuff on his Substack at A Man About Film. We're breaking down the Oscars a little bit here. Let's jump in to the actual awards, Matt. Kieran Culkin started off the evening with a win. Your thoughts?
One of the weirder steamroll victories I've seen in a while. And we've seen some weird ones too, like Renee Zellweger winning for Judy, which no one has thought about that Oscar win in quite some time. I think he's very good in A Real Pain. I'm just amazed there was never seemingly any competition. And I kept waiting for that to happen. You know, when Real Pain missed out on Best Picture nomination, I was like, okay, maybe this is Ed Norton's time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we start getting into the award ceremonies and his speeches are kind of awkward and rambling. And you're like, okay, well, maybe this will be, you know, Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. Maybe people will move towards him. Never happened. People just really like him, like his persona, liked that performance in the movie, which I think is fair. It's a good performance. And that movie crumbles if that performance isn't perfect.
Are you talking about Kieran Culkin now or Guy Pearce?
Kieran Culkin.
Okay, right.
Like if Culkin's performance is not pitch perfect in terms of being a charming jerk, like being a guy you hate that you have to be related to, but also you get why people like him, that movie falls apart. That movie is unwatchable. You know, that movie is a Sundance movie no one ever speaks of ever again. And instead, you know, it became the movie it was. So I appreciate the win. But yeah, I'm kind of amazed that it never faced any resistance this entire year.
My whole thing was like with that was I felt like he was doing his character from Succession too. Like he's so good at that. It's so natural to him. I felt like Guy Pearce, I wasn't expecting him to win. But when I just saw The Brutalist yesterday, and Guy Pearce is one of my favorite actors. I thought he was great. Loved Ed Norton. Jeremy Strong, I did not see The Apprentice. Borisov was good in Anora. It could have gone any way in that of those nominees, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Boris.
Yuri Borisov, I think.
Yeah. In Anora, which obviously is a movie they loved. And he becomes a very big part of that movie by the second half. Ed Norton, he's the heart of A Complete Unknown. And I agree. I think Guy Pearce is really... This is he's fun in The Brutalist. The way he plays this kind of, you know, aloof, hyper billionaire, you know,
but passionate guy. I was trying to figure his character out the whole movie. That was my favorite thing maybe about that, in addition to Adrian Brody's performance. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with all the winners this year is that pretty much all of them I have no problems with. This was a really strong year of winners that I'm like, good for you. Like even Zoe Saldana, I don't love Emilia Perez. I don't love that performance. Yeah. But listen, Zoe's been putting in good work for years in really big stuff. She took a big swing in this movie. She's probably the best performance in that movie. So yeah, that's fine.
Let's pick up there when we come back after a very short break. Matt Miller is here helping us break down the Oscars. We'll get into some of the other awards when we come back. And then Mark Hansen is here at 7:35, the musical theater chair at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. You won't want to miss that as well. It's Peach Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we explained how Executive Order 14215 claims presidential authority over the FEC and other independent agencies, putting fair elections at risk. Manipulation of the FCC, which sets broadcasting rules for political advertising, could also impact elections. Until 1987, the Federal Communications Commission followed the Fairness Doctrine, ensuring equal access to the airwaves and balanced coverage of candidates. The Communications Act of 1996 protects reasonable access by qualified federal candidates and equal time opportunities for federal, state, and local candidates. While it no longer reviews ads for accuracy, it still prohibits censorship of candidate-sponsored ads, requires the paid-for-by disclosure, and mandates records be available to the public. What if those rules were ignored? Extremist control of the FCC could revoke licenses of broadcasters who disagree with the administration, as threatened by Trump against NBC, ABC, and CBS in recent months. It could allow broadcasters to pick and choose their advertisers, potentially silencing competition. Unequal enforcement could tilt the playing field. In short, a partisan takeover of the FCC could impact election fairness not only for the 2026 midterms, but for years to come. We have more on the FCC's role in elections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on WRCE is brought to you by Walsh's Ace Hardware, Richland Electric, Meister Log and Lumber Company, The Shoebox, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Jones Chevrolet, Pratt Funeral Service, Pappas' Trading Post, Clary Memorial Funeral and Cremation Service, Community First Bank, A&W Restaurant, Benson Insurance, Schmidt Woodland Hills, Bailey Paint, Julie Karen State Farm, Meyer Oil and LP, Sunshine and Giggles, and Cardinal CG.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Anna in Madison, she's in the 608, says, Pete, Adrian Brody's girlfriend is Harvey Weinstein's ex-wife. Wow. Talk about, yeah, they split up in 2018. Talk about a rebound. So if she's married to Harvey Weinstein, getting a chunk of gum thrown in her direction is probably a highlight of her day, I would imagine.
That is not great.
That is not, no, and well, whatever. I mean, that's a shock. Thank you, Anna, for the text. And then, where are we here? Conrad, I'm lost. Oh, there we go. Joshua from Wausau says, Pete, this is good. Pete, how about awards? I watched The Godfather of Green Bay a couple months ago. Good movie. Made me laugh, but it deserves an award for the number of times the Macarena is played in a movie. Yeah. Most people probably wouldn't argue with their Joshua. We paid handsomely for that title. We wanted to get our fair use out of it. Matt Miller is here. We're breaking down the Oscars. Matt, so you're okay with Zoe Saldana. That's another category I thought could have gone. I would have been happy with anybody that won. I thought they were all great. I will say Emilia Perez, the more distance I have from it, the more I dislike it for some reason.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I talking to people in my Oscar watching room and people I was texting with, one of the big takeaways was, oh, that movie looks interesting. I want to like everyone wanted to watch that movie. But I think the thing is Emilia Perez is best watched in 10-second clips. Like that movie is so out of control and so many, you know, impulses not being reined in and a lot of people taking big swings that maybe don't work. Especially across a 2-hour time frame.
It was a mess.
I can respect the swings it's taking, but it is not a movie I particularly, it was the least of my, of the nominees I thought this year.
Same. And what I don't understand is I don't think the Twitter scandal even hurt them. I think they were lucky to win two. I don't know that really hurt them in the long run.
I think even as like, I think that probably was the death knell for that movie, but I think it was as soon as it got that many nominations, because people forget it was only one nomination away from tying the record for most nominations for a movie ever.
That's crazy.
I think, you know, the front runner's curse hit it, you know, it got all those nominations and people were like, do we like this movie that much? I don't think so. And people backed away from it, and they found other places to go. And obviously, Anora was that case, especially in terms of Best Picture.
So let's talk about we talked a little bit about Adrian Brody. Was that an upset, or who would you have given it to, Matt?
It's hard to say. I would have given it to the woman, Fernanda Torres, in I'm Still Here, the Brazilian movie. I think that's a really fabulous performance in a very good movie. I wouldn't call that an upset. I know a lot of people in the aftermath were like, oh, Demi Moore, looks like Hollywood didn't learn the lesson from The Substance.
Who did I say? I was talking about Adrian Brody, but maybe you thought I meant Emilia Perez. But I was asking if you thought Adrian Brody... who would you have given Best Actor to?
Oh, Best Actor. I would have... Oh, boy. In that category, I'm trying to remember who's all in there.
You got Timothée Chalamet, Coleman Domingo.
I think I would have given it to Chalamet. I think he's pretty great in that movie. And I think... And of the nominee... Oh, no. Coleman Domingo and Sing Sing. Never mind. I forgot he's nominated. He's tremendously...
Nimmo back at the track!
Doll on the track, doll at the wall, goodbye, home run!
Fly ball right field, hit a ton, we're tied!
It's time for baseball on the Brewers Radio Network, presented by American Family Insurance. Today, the Cactus Crew take on the Cincinnati Reds.
Back at the track, looking up, it is way gone. Over the batter's eye, and out of here for William Contreras.
The pitch is hit in the air into left field with some carry. Backing up Luciano onto the track. Luciano at the wall, it is gone.
Webb throws, and a fly ball. Center field, back again, and gone again for Hoskins.
Now it's time for the On Deck Show, built by Menards, on the Brewers Radio Network, presented by American Family Insurance.
Well, the temperature has cooled slightly as the Brewers gear up for their first night game in Cactus League play. It's the Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds from Goodyear Ballpark. Hi, everybody. Jeff Levering with you. Alongside is Josh Maurer, and our producer and engineer is Kent Sommerfeld. It'll feel like a starting matchup on the mound of the regular season today as the Reds will send left-hander Nick Lodolo to the mound. Aaron Ashby gets the ball for Milwaukee. We'll get you all set for the starting lineups when we come back as the On Deck Show built by Menards continues in a moment on the Brewers Radio Network.
Brewers Radio is sponsored by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. We Energies, Boucher Automotive Group, Tri-City National Bank, your local carrier dealers, Lakeland University.
Fly ball right field, hit a ton, we're tied!
Z-Bart, Cannon and Dumphy, Loyal Family Renovations, Tsunami Express Car Wash, Steamfitters Local 601, and Network Health. On the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on WRCE is brought to you by Walsh's Ace Hardware, Richland Electric, Meister Log and Lumber Company, The Shoebox, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Jones Chevrolet, Pratt Funeral Service, Pappas' Trading Post, Clary Memorial Funeral and Cremation Service, Community First Bank, A&W Restaurant, Benson Insurance, Schmidt Woodland Hills, Bailey Paint, Julie Karen State Farm, Meyer Oil and LP, Sunshine and Giggles, and Cardinal CG.
Take in the great outdoors and take along insurance coverage you can count on. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. We know that rush of freedom you can only get outdoors. Maybe you're taking on the trails in your ATV or zipping around your favorite course in your golf cart. At State Farm, we understand your passion. Whether your recreational vehicle is an off-road vehicle, a snowmobile, or a travel trailer, we can cover you. Our State Farm recreational vehicle insurance is designed with your needs in mind. And the premium may be less than you think. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi everyone, Brian from Walsh's. Spring is right around the corner. Is your yard equipment ready? Now through March 31st, bring in your rider, tiller, push mower, or weed eater and get 10% off your total bill at Walsh's Ace. Need a hand? We offer pickup and delivery too. Don't wait. Get your equipment tuned up and ready for the season at Walsh's Ace. Walsh's Ace, your neighborhood place for everything outdoors. And as always, we appreciate your business.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Just like no two people are the same, no 2 days are the same. We start them and end them at different times. And in between, we all do very different things. Yet there is something we all have in common. Knowing your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative is here to power every moment of every day. Because no matter when it starts, we never stop.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
By Menards, before the Brewers' 11th Cactus League game of this season, they take on their Central Division rival, Cincinnati Reds. Before we get to the starting lineups, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification across the Brewers radio network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Lineups are presented by Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now, supporting Wisconsin's critical infrastructure. Visit WIIN at wisconsininfrastructure.com. For the crew tonight against the left-hander Nick Lodolo, it'll be Caleb Durbin manning the leadoff spot. Durbin, the newcomer, plays second base tonight. Vinny Capra, noted Cincinnati Reds killer. Vinny Capra is batting second, playing third. Remember, he hit the walk-off home run the first time these teams got together in the Cactus League opener. Manuel Margot is in there again. He'll play left field and bat third tonight for the crew. And for the second day in a row, Tyler Black gets a start after missing the first week plus of camp. Black is going to clean up. He plays first base tonight. Oliver Dunn is the designated hitter. Dunn hitting fifth. Eric Haas doing the catching. He'll bat in the sixth spot. Then you've got three guys out of the minor league side with Raynel Delgado batting in the seventh position. He's the shortstop. He's been very